All right, here we go in 3, 2, 1. What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast live at NATA in 2018. We're in New Orleans at the Podcast Lounge, sponsored by Dragonfly Max. Thanks to my boy Rob for setting us up on the live stream from Frio Hydration. We got Hoist Water here for anybody participating. And also we got some really cool T-shirts. So I'm joined by John Reedy. John is he's talking about injury spotting. And so we spoke briefly. This is the same idea, same concept that is used by the NFL. So you got somebody up in the booth that's looking out for injuries. They call down and say, hey, you need to check, you know, Brian Cushing. I think he's got a concussion. And then they say, no, that's just Brian Cushing. He's just crazy. And so you're just using that same idea and same concept, but you're doing it in a high school setting, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So before we get into all that, tell me, what is your experience as an athletic trainer? And then we'll get into how did this idea come to and how did you get to it?
Yeah. So I would say a pretty typical story. I got hurt during freshman soccer tryouts, went in to see my high school athletic trainer, Tim Jakes, and pretty much just never left the AT room and went right into college with it. Moved to North Carolina 2 weeks after I graduated college and did a few months at a private middle school and then hopped over to Atkins High School full-time and have been there since October of 2016.
All right, so that's how you got to athletic training. And so in 2016, you started at the high school that you're at right now.
Yep.
And then you... So at some point in time, there was the injury spotter program.
Yeah, so I came in actually with like 2 weeks left of football season, and I only had one varsity game, and the team we were supposed to play the following week, their varsity team folded like 2 weeks prior to that. So I had one varsity game and one JV game. So I really didn't have a ton of experience that year with football at my school. Just after the season ended, we kind of said, you know, what were things that went well last year, what didn't. You know, really looking how can we get better at this, what can we do better to protect our kids, and just kind of started throwing things at the wall to see what stuck. And I actually had a friend, I was on the student leadership committee when I was in college, and one of my buddies, Jeremy Stevens, was down in Orlando, I think it was Orlando, and he was actually the independent spotter for the Hurricanes for Miami. So talked a little bit with him and said, you know, what do you think about this? What was your experience? You know, do you think we could pull this off at a high school? You know, and his big thing was, you know, do you have the personnel? So we kind of looked at it. I have a per diem assistant who helps me out. So I sat down, talked with him a little bit just to kind of see, you know, what does our typical sideline staff look like? Now we're really, really fortunate. We have a pretty good crew. So we have myself, him. We have a student from High Point University in the fall typically. And then we have a team physician through Wake Forest, through the hospital. I have a volunteer community physician who comes out and helps us. And then we typically have anywhere from 1 to 3 residents. And then we also have EMS on site. So we kind of looked at that. And our first year, we used the residents and typically split halves. And we're actually meeting next week with our team physician just to look at, you know, we want to make sure we're cognizant of the residents' experience and making sure they're getting that hands-on, on-field experience, you know, that they're coming out for. But we're going to take a look at that and make sure we're still giving them a good experience. But, so we looked at that and then pitched it to our admin and said, you know, we think this is a potential way we could help protect our students. You know, my rationale is, you know, I don't really have much data, but if this prevents one instance of second impact syndrome in the next 10, 20 years, that, you know, I think it's worth it. And for us and for Scythe County, the North Carolina Gefeller-Waller Act is named after, Matt Gefeller, partially. He was a sophomore at one of our high schools and ended up passing away from a TBI. So it's very personal in our county, and people kind of take it to heart. So I think that definitely was a factor, and our principal kind of jumped right on it and said, you know what, if this is a way we can help protect our kids, let's try it. So having the admin support was really big for us, and our football coach was really supportive and said, hey, if this is something that's going to help, let's try it. So that was kind of how we got started. So,
all right, so the thing that I always get asked, mm-hmm. how's it going to be paid for? Who's going to pay for it? Well, mm-hmm. you already had all these people coming to your game anyway, right?
Correct. So again, we're really fortunate through our partnership. Winston Scythe County Schools partners with Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center. We all have a full-time athletic trainer, and along with that comes a physician supervision, so which also comes with those residents, which is a big, big factor for us in having the numbers we need. So as far as cost, the only thing we've really purchased, we purchased a set of just two-way radios. And I think that was like $76 on Amazon, so they're not super expensive. You know, if we continue to do this, maybe look at upgrading them eventually. And I think I would like to get a pair of binoculars for up in the booth. But for our first year, that was just a really basic set to get into and a really low-cost option. So,
all right. So, again, you have residents who are training to be doctors.
Yep.
They're doing their sports medicine residents. They're up there. How many do you typically have in the booth? Is it like two up and two down? Or
We basically were just kind of rotating halves, so that way they were still getting, you know, they had some time up in the booth, and then they were getting some on-field experience, you know, making sure they're getting their evaluations and really getting to interact with our sports medicine staff on the sidelines. So typically it was usually a half. We'd rotate first and second half.
But how many people, how many residents are you having each game?
Oh, typically, so at each game, usually was two. Occasionally we had three. We had one that brought a med student with him. So we put the both of them up there together just so he could see from both angles and kind of see what they were doing. So.
Gotcha. All right, so you're using the resources that are already available. You aren't adding anything. Like I said, you just bought the radio so that you guys can easily communicate without having to call each other.
Yep.
And so I'm, again, just trying to get a bigger picture of how this would work in other settings. So at my school, there's two athletic trainers.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're playing somebody in our district, then there might be two athletic trainers on each sideline.
Yep.
And then we typically will have a doctor on the sidelines, but they may be, like, splitting sidelines. They may be there showing up just on time or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so realistically, I don't see one of us going to sit up in the booth the whole time, or even, you know, splitting halves while the other one's down there working. You know, I mean, I would sign up for that job. All right,
yeah.
I'll be up here watching.
Yeah. Did you talk to Mike Hopper about this? Because he said the same thing. No, but when we pitched it, that was my original plan. I didn't know exactly what our staff was going to look like. So originally my plan was to either split maybe with me and my assistant. And, of course, he's like, you know, why are you going to pull an athlete trainer off the sideline? And having not had a lot of game day experience at my school, Mike had a clearer thought on it than I did. But so we got there and we ended up having the residents, and I now, having done it for a season, totally agree with Mike. There's no way we could do game day pulling one of us off the sideline. So I think the way secondary school setting is right now, I think it's unfortunate, but I think we'd have to say it's not going to work everywhere. There's places, you know, my assistant's our first responder. We're really fortunate, but some places just don't have a qualified first responder. So whereas my guy's been certified longer than I've been alive. So
yeah, but there's schools right around us in
yeah.
Pasadena that have, you know, three athletic trainers, and they have a doctor and a resident or two every game. And this may be something that works for them.
Yeah.
Just as an option, as an added thing. And so, speaking on that, what have you seen with a year of implementation? So what have you seen so far?
So we didn't. So this is kind of like a good and a bad. We didn't get as much data as I had hoped, but we only had one concussion on varsity football this year. So it's like, you know, we didn't get good data, but we didn't have a lot of concussions.
Right.
So it's like the, you know, it's good and it's bad. This year, honestly, we used it more to be able to put kids back in. We had a couple that we pulled for evaluation, and kind of based on the input from the spotters and what we found on the sidelines, we're able to say, you know what, okay, we're confident we can put somebody back in the game, which, you know, wasn't really our original intent, but I think it was kind of an added side benefit. So they looked for other injuries for us too, you know, hey, so-and-so's limping, number six, check his ankle out, which was helpful that, you know, we both turn around to tape somebody and we just happen to miss it for a second when he gets up limping. So that was another kind of side benefit, but certainly was not the original intent per se. So.
Yeah, that was actually my next question is, you know, you mentioned concussion, you pushed it as concussion, but then there's also always that, well, I've got one set of eyes, or, you know, hey, I'm going to the locker room to get it unlocked to get a setup for halftime, or whatever it is that somebody else can say, yeah, that kid just got bent over backwards.
Yeah.
And so then you're like, okay, well, let me just go check him out and see.
Yeah.
So how often were you getting phone calls or radio calls?
I would say, I think, so we kept like a spreadsheet during each game. So I'd like print it out, part of the game day routine, you get there early and doing everything, and we just had on a clipboard, and they just kind of wrote down where in the game they saw something, what number player, you know, what they thought it might be, and then, you know, I'd follow up after the game and say, okay, yeah, we did pull him out, you know, this is what we found, yes or no, just to kind of give us, you know, were they seeing the same things we were, you know, were we missing anything, which again was kind of the original intent, to make sure we're not missing anything. So I think it works. it worked well enough that we're going to continue to do it for sure. So,
now, do you think this may be an option to entice like a doctor or a resident to be involved with your program? You said, hey, look, I don't need you standing on the sidelines. I need you up top, sitting in the AC. You know, they're going to serve you some food, but I need you to be actively involved in watching the game and, and notifying me. You think that may be a tool for engaging the community?
I think it could be. We have a phenomenal volunteer community physician, Craig Yarbrough. He's from the competing hospital, so it's a little funny, but he did his residency with us. So he does a great job. He does it just because he enjoys it. He works in family medicine now, but did sports medicine residency. So it's him just kind of staying connected. So that may be a resource we look at of, you know, hey, this is kind of the role we need you in. And he's great. I would imagine he'll probably say, yeah, you know, if that's what you need, I'm happy to do it. So that's definitely something we're going to look at. We're sitting down with our team physician next week to kind of say, you know, all right, so how do we get better this year? And that's kind of our main focus is who's going to be up in that booth. So,
all right, so somebody wants to copy this. What's the best way for them to place to look, the way to contact you, something like that?
So I'm on Twitter. It's camels_AT. And then my email is JP. I'll give you the camelssportsmed@gmail.com. Goes right to my phone. So that's kind of the easiest way. I've had a couple people reach out and ask about it. Somebody in Florida and one in Wisconsin. People just ask, you know, always happy to field questions about, you know, hey, how do you pitch this to your admin? What does it cost? What do we need to get? And I think if you go in with the low cost option to start that, hey, $76 to maybe save a kid's life, that I mean, what administrator is not going to go for that, you know?
Yeah, and then a lot of them, you could even borrow administrator radios if you had to.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And for us, so the reason we did the separate ones was just so we could have that kind of medical-to-medical conversation without, because our radios are all on, you know, our SRO has one, our principal, our AD, our assistant principal, you know, everybody and their brother has one of those. So just we felt like with, you know, if you couldn't afford the money to get your own radios, you certainly could do that. You know, if you can cough up the $76 to get your own, just, you know, you start to look at FERPA and, you know, making sure that we're not accidentally or unintentionally sharing information we shouldn't be. So
yeah, all right, very good. Any other thoughts on injury spotting in the high school, where it's heading, or things that you're gonna plan to do?
I think as far as where it's headed, I think, you know, I think we're seeing the trend, what starts in the NFL trickles down to college, trickles down to high school, trickles down to youth sports. I think this is going to be a really, really, really slow trickle. Just where we are in the secondary schools, that we're starting to get to the point where people are seeing, you know, okay, we need to add a second full-time staff member. We need to add a third. That as these staffs continue to grow towards an appropriate size, I think this could be a more viable option. I think for right now, if you've got one ATC, you're not going to pull somebody off the sideline. That's not reasonable. It's not safe. So I think a lot of it, you have to be able to take a really hard look at your staff and say, is this feasible and is it responsible? Because, again, you're not going to pull one out of two ATCs off the sideline.
Right.
So I think down the road, I think you're going to see more of them popping up. That's also kind of my hope, that if we can get more, we can start sharing data and, you know, maybe look for somebody to start putting some money into it. We can have a dedicated, kind of like the ACC does, where it's an independent. And, you know, I would think this would probably continue. So
yeah, definitely in some of the bigger programs where they have the extra people, or the small schools where there's a lot of community involvement.
Yes.
Because then there's more people willing to jump in. So
yeah,
definitely a good idea. You said camelssportsmed@gmail.com?
Correct. Yep.
Or camel_AT or camels?
Camels_AT.
On Twitter.
Yep.
So if you want to find John Reedy, find out more about the spotter program that they got going on in their high school, then definitely hit him up, ask those questions. Again, I am Jeremy Jackson for the Sports Medicine Broadcast. John Reedy, I appreciate you reaching out and joining me as we're here in New Orleans, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your time. So for Jeremy, John, the Sports Medicine Broadcast here at the Podcast Lounge, that is a wrap.